Well, there was another break in the show, but I was telling everybody, Ken McClinton, about the BRICS nations and the Saudis deciding that they want to separate from the dollar and perhaps go to the Chinese yen. Maybe they'd even think about the ruble. I'm not sure. But Ken McClinton, if the U.S. dollar were removed as essentially the global reserve currency, what do you envision happening to the United States of America?
Well, the United States of America still would remain strong. Our currency is the preferred currency around the world for a purpose. It's because of the strength of our economy, the strength of our military, and the strength of our Constitution, which clearly states that we are to pay off our debts. And so we've been doing that. And while the current, the dollar is actually losing value in the marketplace of trade right now, that weakening of the U.S. dollar is actually more of the reason why you're seeing upticks in the employment numbers. It's not because of anything that Joe Biden has done. A lot of the stuff that's happening, whether it's the Federal Reserve trying to, at the last minute, fight inflation, which will be a losing cause because they're a little late to the battle at this particular juncture, or simply these Pete Buttigieg attempting to fix the supply chain issue that everyone in the private marketplace knows is going to take about 2 to 3 years to do as a result of the COVID invasion by the governments of the world. The U.S. is strong. In and of itself, it can stand by itself. We produce more oil in the world than Russia and Saudi Arabia combined. We can stand on our own, which is why all of these other countries of the UN are so worried about us. The problem with all of the countries of the world, whether it be BRICS, and they will do the switch for a short-term period, but what they're going to find out is that the manipulated yuan is going to defeat their purposes. It won't hold up to the valuations that are necessary to keep all of those nations strong. The Marxists will fail again because they don't know how to do capitalism well. So at this particular juncture, the great threat economically in our society today is the fact that we're in a perfect storm, i.e., as a result of our overreaction in the United States to COVID, spending $22 trillion on the effort of the past 2 years, flooding the marketplace with U.S. currency, sending monies around the world, depleting depressing the valuation of other currencies, you're beginning to see the actual side effects of that. Hangover. You're looking at the Europeans going into a doldrum. They're headed towards a recession well before we are.
Oh my God! Yes.
You're looking at Africa at this particular moment, and while you have some rebel groups who want to create their own currency, their economies are slowing to a halt, which is going to create terroristic actions in those particular countries. You have Latin America, Venezuela, hoping that Joe Biden doesn't go back and open up the pipelines and allow federal drilling on federal leased land, because then they can be profitable in terms of the oils that they have at this particular juncture. The U.S. pumps and supports a whole lot of these vagabond tyrants. And if it wasn't for us, many of them would not be in operation today. So we're looking at this particular moment, because the U.S. refuses to pump oil at this point, that it will become dependent on some other tyrant in the world and their oil. And in that particular case, we build up unique existential threats because Russia and China have their tentacles in most of the other tyrannical countries of this particular world. The dollar will get weaker, which is okay if you want to keep jobs in the U.S. if the dollar strengthens, you will see a depression come along in our country. We're already headed towards a recession, and that's already been admitted by Goldman Sachs earlier today, that we are headed towards a recession by the latter quarter of this year. So all of the plans that Biden had and Buttigieg and all the rest of them present, even the Federal Reserve, are going to fail by the wayside. Inflation is going to hit somewhere in the area of 8.5% in this particular month, the month of March, based on what experts are saying, which is above the 7.9%, which we hadn't seen in 40 years. We haven't seen 8.5% since before the 1960s. And if it gets to the 10%, which they are expecting at the end of this year, that is the type of inflation we had during the Great Depression. And we can get quickly into a hyperinflation situation where people are deciding to ask for raises in their salary because they want to try to keep up with inflation. But that creates a spiral in which you don't really catch up with inflation. It just creates more inflation because now businesses have to charge more to bring in more revenue to cover the cost of the increased wages. Thus, those individuals who got raises will be spending more money than they, so it creates a spiral. We are literally in a very perfect storm for not only a recession, but a Great Depression. And unfortunately, all of the snowflakes that studied women's studies at the university aren't prepared for the economic upheaval that would come if the bubbles on the stock market and the home building blow in the summertime, which may happen.
We're talking potentially 1929. All of this was, however, eminently avoidable, completely avoidable, if Joe Biden had decided to do on January 20th nothing. Nothing. Just let it lay, let it play. But like we said before, Ken and I, evil succeeds in the face of weakness. Let me play for you, folks. This is one of your leaders. And when we're done, this is 1 minute and 48 seconds of Nancy Pelosi. You tell me what she said.
But they know that we can't go there. Putin is trying to bait the trap so that we go in, and that's the beginning, could be the beginning of World War III. Putin, totally irresponsible, using weapons that are not allowed under the Geneva Convention. Putin, who threatens use of chemical weapons, nuclear, and the rest. So they know that we can't, but it's the ask. Now, he was this morning more, if we can't have a no-fly zone, let us have our own, and we need the airplanes to come in.
Okay.
This morning he was less on the ask for the policy, more on let us do it, help us get the planes. But also there is a school of thought that thinks the anti-aircraft missiles and the rest are a very important way. Myself, when I see those tanks, that 40 miles of tanks, I'd like to take out those tanks. I mean, I think that them having more planes might be useful, but that I'm not a military strategist. We hope that we will be able to get to a place, I hope. You asked me how I hope that we can get to a place where the MiGs, which are the kinds of planes they've been trained on, can go to Ukraine. The F-16s, especially if we have an excess of them, can backfill for Poland.
What the hell was that? Those are your leaders right now, folks. Your leaders.
There's a 12-step program missing someone. You should not drink that early in the morning. You really sentence.
Gin soaked, thy name is Pelosi. Addle brained, thy name is Biden. But we are currently experiencing, well, let me go back a little bit to respond to Ken, what he was saying. Everybody thinks that China is strong. Well, China is strong. Everybody thinks that Russia is strong. Well, Russia is strong. Are the U.S. strong? What people aren't hearing is that China is in a terrible way fiscally. I refer to this frequently. There's a book that was written in the early 80s called The Threat by Andrew Cockburn. And essentially how we won the Cold War was, in terms of defense, we outspent the Russians and outproduced the Russians. That's how we won the Cold War. And the wall came down, and Russia entered into chaos. Oligarchs thrived. Only a strong man could wrestle this stuff back. And make no mistake when I say, and I've said it before, and other people have said I'm nuts, but make no mistake, Putin wants to put the band back together. He wants to see the USSR reincorporated. And, of course, with him in charge. That's his background. His background is KGB. So it doesn't take anyone who is even remotely slightly familiar with history to not understand that this is his attempt. And he's almost 70. He's either 69 or 70. This is kind of his last hurrah. Because he's getting significantly older, although all the plastic surgery that he's had doesn't let him look like a Pelosi. Whoever did the plastic surgery on Putin, they had a better fax specialist than Nancy Pelosi. That's all I can say. But in terms of all of this, I go back to Thug's Law. All of this, Ken McClinton, all of this was avoidable. It was all self-inflicted, but it's a perfect, perfect storm, a shitstorm.
Exactly. You know, the funny thing is that people don't realize that all of this was avoidable if only Obama's State Department would have encouraged NATO agreement being signed between Ukraine and the U.S. and NATO. But Joe Biden didn't want that to happen because that would mess up his corrupt garden. And Ukraine is known for two things, wheat and corruption.
Yes.
No.
You can laugh, folks. You can laugh. Ken McClinton nailed it. If we don't get wheat from Ukraine, it's the number one or number two producer of wheat in the nation. And I'm sorry, on the planet. The planet. So we here in the United States may go into issues with food if grain is not produced, and under wartime conditions, likely not.
Exactly. And we would sniffle and we would sneeze. Because we have a great deal of wheat that we produce, a little less than Ukraine, but we have enough to sustain ourselves. Everything that I say that we have enough to sustain ourselves, and the evil ones want us to be dependent on others. And so when you listen to the inebriated Nancy Pelosi, all hail Nancy, and she's telling you that she would like airships, F-16, to fly to Ukraine and take out the 40-mile tank convoy coming from Moscow. And then she tells you that she doesn't want to start World War III. That is the start of World War III. If you were to have done that, we would have been in a war right now. And I'm going to tell you, one of the great people to talk with about foreign policy is Randy Purim, who's running for office out of Alaska. And Randy will tell you, we are in trouble right now with Russia proclaiming. Now, Russia, a little later this morning, will be going before the UN and asking the UN to investigate the 24 bioweapons labs that are there under the funding of the United States of America in the Ukraine. And he's doing that smugly because he just wants the narrative to be out there that we're creating viruses, and those viruses are dangerous. And so, but I digress. Back to the point of there are people who, if we're giving $800 million of weaponry to Ukraine, don't you think Russia is going to go to the UN and say, you know what? The U.S. is creating a proxy war. They're in a war. We have the right to strike. And we will strike any American that gets in our way, whether they are clothed in uniform or not. So at this particular juncture, the game that's being played out of Washington, D.C., to avoid the fact that Joe Biden's economy has created the great perfect storm for a depression, is the media is attempting to overshadow it with this whole idea of a Ukrainian U.S. Proxy war with Russia. And all of that is just silly at this particular juncture. And you're right. Putin has only one ambition, and that ambition is to get to the Atlantic Ocean. It's not even get to Germany. I mean, he wants to take Poland. He wants to take Moldova. He wants to take Belarus. He wants to take Hungary. He wants to keep going. He wants Germany, but he doesn't want to stop there. He wants all of Western Europe, and it is something that the czars have been planning and fighting for centuries. In Russia, to take the Western Europe. And Western Europe is in a state right now, thanks to all the jihadis being brought in from Africa, they're in a state right now where such an option could happen if we're not wise enough to fight the good fight. Putin is desperate. His economy isn't all that strong, but he's built up a great deal of savings in terms of gold and other assets, unlike other countries that were spending on sprees for COVID, Putin is prepared for the long haul, and he's getting financing from China, Beijing. I don't know why Biden is making a phone call this morning to Xi Jinping, because Xi Jinping has been flipping him the middle finger for the entire experience, and he's going to continue to flip the middle finger. China is the country that you should be most concerned about. Its economy is weaker than certainly the U.S., but it's stronger than Russia's and strong enough to support Russia in this particular war. What we should be concerned about is that China is going to test the U.S. maybe the next 6 months, thanks to what Russia did in Ukraine. They're going to test the U.S. in terms of its resolve to protect Taiwan. Do you really mean it? Taiwan might become one part of China by December of this year. And because I don't believe in all of my thoughts that Joe Biden would be so stupid as to enter into a war over Ukraine, but he might be smart enough to enter into a war over Taiwan, and that war takes place before the November election. His numbers went up 5 points as a result of what happened in Ukraine, even though he did virtually nothing to protect Ukraine or NATO. And as well, if he were to attempt to go into a war with China and towards the end of this year, it would help him politically and secure possibly a more dormant victory status for Republicans, not having as large enough a victory in terms of what they were expecting in terms of this year. So in a nutshell, China is stronger than Russia. Russia is weaker than what they project. China is weaker than it projects. I'm not worried about the dollar being replaced. It is the strongest currency that you have right now. But what it says is that the pirates of the UN are gathering together, and they do plan to attack the U.S. and Israel by any means necessary.
What this has proven to me tonight, Ken, is that I really miss talking to you.
And, I miss you too,
and
brother.
Discussing all these issues, and again, as per normal, there are so many things that I didn't get to. When I say it's a perfect storm, what I'm intimating, no, not intimating, what I'm stating is that if you could possibly have done everything wrong, then everything Biden has done since his inauguration on January 20th, everything that he has done has been wrong. And it was Barack Hussein Obama who said something similar to, I'm paraphrasing, never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to fuck things up. And Obama, being wrong in many ways, was absolutely correct with that statement. And people seem to think, oh, Obama never said that. That is a direct attribution to him. And that was exactly how he felt. This is not anything made up. We have been placed here by an inept, addled, gin-soaked administration intentionally. This is all on purpose. Make absolutely no mistake. Well, I'm going to wrap things up because Ken has to go, and so do I.
Can I just make one quick announcement?
Sure, please.
Okay. Tomorrow at 12 noon, Carrie Baxter Donovan's Midday Money Adventure on TECNTV.com, she will be interviewing Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort has a new book out regarding his persecution, prosecution, and that he would not be silent. Political Prisoner is the name of the book. And so he'll be on, he'll be talking about Ukraine. He'll be talking about the prosecution that took place and as well, the existential threats that are within the U.S., to our well-being and freedom. So please let everyone know. Paul Manafort tomorrow, 12, p.m. for Carrie Baxter Donovan's Midday Money Adventure.
Now that's Eastern, right? 12 Eastern?
That's correct.
So that'd
12
be
p.m. Eastern.
9 a.m. Western, right over here. That's a hell of a get. That is a very nice get. And I have
to
say, quite admirable. Well, this is it. I'm going to have to wrap it up. This wraps up 393, that'll be 394 episodes of my show. 739 hours of content for me over the past 5 years, just for my show, not for all of SHR. Thank you. The show is not stopping. The show will probably be on hiatus for about 2 months until I sort things out. I have a separate room where I'll be putting the studio. I'm going to have to build everything up from scratch again in the midst of trying to unload, unpack, etc. I'll be coming back with a new type of format. I hope to be a little bit more organized. I hope to have an internet that actually works. And I hope that everybody will come with me. I don't know exactly how this will all pan out because technology is not my friend, and I'm going to need help and consultants and people that actually know what the hell they're doing, and that would not include yours truly. Fear not, I will be back. I will miss doing the show, but things have to change because I cannot be here anymore, mentally, physically, psychologically, you name it. Fiscally, budgetarily, I can't afford to live in this state. And I don't think anybody can. And I'm not going to fight for it. I'm too old for that. They can have it. You want California? Take it. I'm going to be in a new free state. So, Ken, thank you for being here. Everyone who has listened here tonight, everyone who was in chat, everyone who will listen to this in podcast, thank you ever so kindly. I greatly appreciate everyone being here for the past 5 years. I thank SACEDS Sean, SACEDS Clint, yourself, Ken McClinton, every listener, every person who's been in the chat room, all of my guests. I've had a ton. Thank you, one and all. Ken McClinton, God bless you, sir, and thank you for being here tonight.
God bless you as well. Love you, brother.
That was Ken McClinton. I'm BZ. There's only one way that I know how to go out, and it's like this.
Monsieur!
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thanks for listening to the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show, live and direct right here on the SHR Media Network. If you want to find me, I'm still on Twitter, for a while, at BZEP, at BZEP, and my blog at bloviatingzeppelin.net. Always do. Promotional consideration by the Lockheed Martin Skunk Works and by the Boeing Company. If it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. Tiaras. By My Little Pony. So will you please. And this is true. Thanks to my personal KC-135 Kettle One refueling team, with whom I will be consorting in about 10 minutes, damn it. They'll be happy to know. Thanks for 5 years of listening to me. Thanks for listening live and in podcast, being in the chat room, all of my guests, Ken McClinton, Dave Milner in chat, Lusty Dominique. I'll be back. I'll make many promos. Everyone, it's going to be a rough ride. Buck up. God bless. Take care. Be safe. Love you all.
Quiet down now and get some sleep.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Mama. Good night, Ben.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Mama.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, children.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, Jim Bob. Good night, Jim Bob.
Good night, Jim Bob.
What's going on? I was asleep. What's everybody doing?
Good night, Jim Bob.
Go back to sleep.
Good night and good luck.